Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. Our guest today is Jack Savage. Jack is a biohacker. He is a creative entrepreneur on a mission to transform lives by making natural wellness simple and accessible for all. Like many energetic kids, Jack was prescribed stimulants to manage his ADHD at the age of 5 years old. And after 20 years of struggling with the side effects of the pharmaceutical medications, he stopped. Jack started looking and searching and researching for new ways to manage his energy. And what he came up with was a life-changing blend of functional mushrooms and nootropics that inspired the product we're going to talk about today, which is Everyday Dose. This is a world-renowned coffee alternative that's been taken up by athletes and doctors and top performers. It's been featured in Men's Health, GQ, Forbes, for its brain and body optimizing effects. There are over 40,000 monthly subscribers who are changing their lives and quitting coffee, or what I like to say is the devil's juice. Now, I have a lived experience. I have a testimonial. For over 3 weeks, I have not had a cup of coffee. I notice it is so easy for me to fall asleep at night, which was almost impossible to downregulate even with one cup of coffee a day. And looking at my genetics and understanding that I, Freddie Kimmel, am a slow metabolizer of caffeine, it's something I always knew I wanted to get off. What I've learned is my energy is more even keel. I'm more me, and I realize how addicted I am to that rush of caffeine. Not artificial, but it is, you are riding this like dopamine hit, and it's energy that is borrowed from an energy credit card. I think that's what really sank in when I stopped coffee. I'm borrowing this energy from somewhere, and somewhere I'm gonna pay it back. So while I'm new to this, while I fucking miss coffee, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what unwinds in my nervous system and what's there of my true essence. I know that sounds heavy and a lot, but I'm really excited that this is a huge thing for me. I've never been able to stop coffee for more than a week and a half. And I understand all the science and all the literature says it's amazing. It's a longevity drug, and I believe that. And I am ampy enough. So you can try Everyday Dose using the code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN. And you should check it out. But more importantly, let's drop into this episode. Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we explore the survivor's journey, practitioners making a difference, and the therapeutic treatments and transformational technology that allow the body to heal itself. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast. We're going to get going, but before we do, I have to mention a product that I've been talking about for over 6 months. This is Silver Biotics, Silver Sol Technology, which is a technological play on silver, but they've coated it with a silver oxide that can steal thousands of electrons. This particle that Silver Biotics has invented is AG404, which makes this supplement hungry for electrons. If you've listened to this podcast in the past, you know when something can take electrons away from the bad guys or the pathogens, your immune system is going to operate better. So I use their immune support daily. I have not had a cold since I've started doing this. It's been over 6.5 months. The other product they make that I absolutely am in love with is their toothpaste. Your mouth and gums feel fresh and pink. It's very, very effective. And this has been validated by one of my favorite biological dentists, Dr. Gene Sambataro. The other thing that I have to tell you is they have a burn cream. Now, I wouldn't tell you that I needed a burn cream. However, I was just in Maui, and the fair-skinned individual that I am, I was blessed to have this and would literally watch a sunburn melt away after an hour because the cooling effect of this burn cream was amazing. So check it out. They are offering this podcast 30% off on any of their products using the code BEAUTIFULLYBROKEN. So check that out today. The other sponsor I just want to mention and shed a little love on is LightPath LED. This is my favorite light company. Red light therapy is shown to be beneficial to every cell in the body, helping to release nitric oxide and increase microcirculation and increase ATP, which is the energy currency of the cell. LightPath makes one of the best lights on the market because, in my opinion, they use pulsed frequencies. They have the most robust warranty on the market, and people are so happy when they get this thing in their home and they start their day with 10 to 20 minutes of red light therapy. It increases joy, it helps with mood, it helps with chronic pain. There's really not a losing case here, so check that out. Same code, beautifully broken. And last but not least, I got to give some big love to AMD Ion Cleanse, which is an ionic foot bath, which, yes, I know, Freddie, you got a little woo-woo on me, but it's not. You put your feet in water, you put in the ion plates, and both negative and positively charged ions are added to the body. What does the body do with these ions? It binds and forms covalent bonds with metals, toxins, biotoxins, mold. And through studies, over 3 to 4 months, we can watch levels of environmental toxicity like glyphosate. Glyphosate is a weed killer that you don't want in your tissues. It affects everything in a bad way. And again, you're noticing a theme here. Energy, electrons, light, the stealing of electrons. Team, I align with these companies and these sponsors because they work, they're effective, they're affordable, and they do the good deeds. So check them out. When you shed love on them and their shopping carts, you shed love on this podcast. That's it for now. Let's jump in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. I'm sitting down in Austin, Texas with my new friend, Jack. Jack, how you doing?
I'm great.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this moment since I moved to Austin.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I love live podcasts. It's something really special about the energy that comes into the room that you cannot plan for. So different from Zoom.
This is my first podcast in person.
You're kidding me. This is exciting. Let's cheers here. And I am sipping on some everyday dose, dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins.
It's a little cheeky, right? It's cute.
It is. It's cute, but that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about everyday dose. And we're going to talk about, but really, we're going to talk about this cool, an alternative to regular coffee,
right?
That a product that I've been using and trying since December that I absolutely love. And we shared some this morning, which I made my own like Freddy blend of
it. I loved it.
It was good, right? Let me share. So at home, we did everyday dose, grass-fed butter. We did some raw cacao. We did some coconut whipped cream. And then a shot of the devil's juice, which is just a shot of regular coffee. We Vitamixed it and frothed it. And it was like everything you want a cup of coffee to be.
It was so good. And people are going to be like, oh my God, the founder of Everyday Dose is drinking coffee. I'm fine with it. You know, yeah. As long as there's a little bit and it's counteracted by that L-theanine and the lion's mane, that synergistic effect is okay.
Yeah.
So
there was a long time when I was going through chronic fatigue and Lyme, and I was so tired. I used to tell my doctors, I have a window of magic in which coffee allows me to feel semi-normal. It was about an hour. And so I became so emotionally attached to my hour of normalcy that I can tell you that coffee was like, it was like one of the number one things in my day because it brought me back to a baseline. And so I have this funky relationship with it. Because now I'm in a different place. Now I don't exist in a state of fatigue. But there is that memory that's very much wired into my brain. And I can feel today where coffee is not always serving me. I can feel where I just push myself past that edge where there's too much energy in my brain. I can't really rein down my thoughts into achieving a task. So when I heard about Everyday Dose, I got really excited.
Well, it's also just to me interesting that it was just 1 hour of normalcy.
Yeah.
That got you excited.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
It just really shows, it gives you a glimpse or gives me a glimpse of the pain that you were going through mm-hmm. in that time of your life.
Yeah. It was wild. And lots of people tell me that. They're like, oh, I had my hour of magic. you know, and maybe it was at like 4 o'clock after they had slept in bed all day. Very, very common with this, whatever, you know, Lyme disease being a stealth pathogen. But there's almost 380,000 or 420,000 people diagnosed every single year. Yeah, it's this thing. So, but thinking about an adaptogenic cocktail, like everyday dose, that's complementary to the way the brain works is really fascinating to me. What got you started in this world of an alternative to regular coffee?
Yeah, I was diagnosed with ADHD at 5. Mm. And coming from the South Side of Chicago, my parents weren't the most educated on diet and lifestyle. And so my diet very much consisted of fast food, high sugar diet, high processed carbs diet. And so when the doctors told them to put me on Ritalin, they did. Mm. And when Ritalin wasn't working, I would be still running around crazy, or if I was in the classroom with like weird tics, like I would be in a classroom like making like weird tics, and it was probably from the amphetamines that were just in my body. They would put me on a different one, like Focalin, and then the next one was Concerta, and then they landed on Adderall. So in high school, I was up to 30 milligrams XR of Adderall, and then I took that all throughout college, and I went to the doctor. And the doctor said I had high blood pressure. And I wrote it off thinking that maybe it was because of a high stress day. But then like go back to the doctor, it would be the same situation. And I just remember thinking to myself, what the heck, Jack? Is this the life that I really want to live? Mm-hmm. Like, do I really want to have high blood pressure for the rest of my life? And quite frankly, bad sleeping habits also. And so that was sort of the beginning of me thinking I needed to make a change in my life. Mm-hmm. So I quit Adderall cold turkey. And I remember we have this ad that runs online, and I talk about how I quit Adderall cold turkey, and people are like, don't do that. Like, that's extremely dangerous. And for my journey, when I took less Adderall, so I went from 30 to 15 milligrams, didn't do anything. So I thought, okay, if it's not doing anything, what's the point of even taking that 15 milligrams? So I quit cold turkey and I started drinking coffee, and coffee wasn't really doing it. I have like 2 or 3 hours of energy max, or it wasn't even providing the same focus and energy that I was getting from Adderall. Mm-hmm. And then someone actually told me about another brand. Actually, I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast, and he talked about Alpha Brain. This is 2012. And I remember trying Alpha Brain for the first time thinking, whoa, I'm not taking a pharmaceutical and I still feel like I have a focus. Not the same as Adderall, but that's a pharmaceutical with so many negative side effects. But I remember thinking, wow, there are things that are out there that can actually help my brain, including with lifestyle changes and diet as well, of course. But I was also super broke at the time. And I think it was like 60 or 70 bucks. I was like, holy crap, I can't afford this. So I just turned over the label, which I think everybody needs to do with their food and their supplements. And I read the label and I was like, okay, bucopaminary and all these other ingredients. And so I just went online and I started trying and buying them on their own. And I remember thinking, and that was the beginning of trying and experimenting and compounding my own formulas and making my own drinks. If you were to come over, I would whip you up like a cacao drink with Hoshu, Shizandra, Lion's Mane and collagen with tocotrienols, and just like, it was just fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you quit cold turkey?
25.
25 years old. And yeah. You started at 5.
Yeah.
When I hear that experience, I'm aware of the different developmental stages that a brain goes through. And so I'm interested if you had feedback as far as guidance from a professional medical provider, as far as like, how you said you just quit cold turkey. Was there ever a time in which you were like, maybe I should go look at how I'm going to manage this long term? Do you feel like, how do you feel today? That's a better question.
I feel like there's definitely, I mean, I only know what I feel, right? Like, I don't know how other people feel, but I definitely feel like I don't have the same amount of dopamine and serotonin as other people. But through exercise, I get super pumped, right? When I eat healthy, I get super excited. If I have a good sleep, I feel normal, or at least what normal is for me. So I only have the baseline that's me, and you only have your baseline.
Yeah.
And I feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the body is extremely malleable. And I think that if you treat it well over time, you can bring it back to, I think the word is like homeostasis. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get my words messed up.
I tend to believe that. I tend to believe that. It's interesting, the idea. We do have our own experience. Like my version of healthy, robust, energetic, a morning that's in flow is different than everybody else's. But I do a lot to prep for that. It's funny, when your crew came over this morning, I was like strapped up to stim pads on my glutes and medial glutes, and I'm going through these yoga poses, and I've got like hydrogen water bubbling, and they were like, what is this guy doing?
I love it. They love it though. We all love it. Like, we just love new things and trying new things. So it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But I want to get back to this idea of like discovering something new and opening a door, because you opened a door to like this, to, as you said, you've discovered this on Joe Rogan's podcast. You're like, oh, here's something else. It sounds like it could work for me. And as you started to explore, what were some of your first big wins that you could feel in your body? You're like, oh, this is something that could work for me.
Bacopa Mineri.
Yeah.
Which is a nootropic. That is not an everyday dose. Mm-hmm. It's extremely bitter and not pleasant in a powder form. And so it's something that you can take as a supplement, that great focus. Psychedelics as well. Psilocybin microdosing. It really helps create new neurons in the brain and helps you with focus as well and energy, like a microdose. And also if you do like macro doses, like every couple of months, potentially, there have been times when I try to work through things and I'm taking it every 2 weeks, like a nice 3-4 gram dose.
Wow.
These are incredible for the brain.
Wow. Yeah.
At least for me, those are the experiences that I have.
Yeah, that's incredible. It seems to me we're in some level of a mental health crisis. I hear lots of people that are really struggling. And I know the work that the MAPS Society is doing around psychedelic interventions to help the brain not only manage, but to really heal. Like you said, developing these new neural pathways, new neural connections. I have an interesting history with, you know, using medicinal mushrooms. I'm super sensitive, so I don't need a lot. But I will say, it feels like the brain has been rebooted, like you've defragged your computer and kind of put everything back where it's supposed to be. And then I'm good for like a long time.
How old were you when you first tried psychedelics?
Oh my God. I mean, college, but not with any type of like intention or thought or goodwill. It was just pushing boundaries and seeing how fucked up I could get.
Right. And I feel like, and that could be fun. And it can also be extremely, for lack of better words, dangerous, because so many people who take psychedelics in a college atmosphere have a negative experience and then they never want to do it again.
Yeah.
So it's dangerous for their long-term health.
Yeah.
In the sense that they'll never do it again because of the experience that they had in college.
Or a horrible decision you make when you're not around people who necessarily all have your best interests. It's, you know, again, I said, you're testing boundaries. I feel like that's in college. I was truly like testing boundaries. I'm like, what's okay? What's not okay? And so in that setting, you know, not medicinal, not therapeutic, but I want to say, even in the last couple years, maybe like 18 months, have I started playing with like what's known as a Stamets stack, like a Paul Stamets, which has different other vitamins nutrients.
Lion's mane, psilocybin, and niacin.
Yeah.
And lion's mane is one of the only mushrooms that can help cross the blood-brain barrier to give like neurogenesis and myelination. Myelination, I always get my words messed up. And the niacin also helps with crossing the blood-brain barrier. It's an incredible stack. The niacin, though, can cause flush.
Yeah.
Did you experience the flush?
I have. However, in my time going through Lyme and mold, there was a protocol which was actually developed through the Church of Scientology to do a niacin flush sauna to remove metals and toxins from the body. So you do high-dose niacin and then go sit in a sauna. Dude, do you want to talk about uncomfortable?
Should we move this podcast over to your sauna right now and take 500 milligrams of niacin?
No. Just wild. Yeah, just wild, not fun. But I have a decent understanding of what it feels like in a tolerance. So it never had the intense impact that other people have reported from that stack. But the benefit, the benefit is clear. It really is. I'm like, I notice creativity. I notice a sense of wellness and positivity, just an overall sense of a little slight joy. I think it's a biohack to slow down to the power of pause,
mm-hmm.
stillness. It's like, oh,
it's
awareness.
A download that I get every time I take mushrooms.
Yeah.
It's like, slow down.
Yeah.
Take notes on a pen, not on your computer, because it actually forces your brain to slow down.
Yeah. So with this, with your experimentation and knowing all these things had value, how did you settle on a formula that is everyday dose?
Mm. So I also started using Reddit a lot. And a guy would use basically Reddit as a way of finding information. So I'd be like Lion's Mane Reddit, or I'd be like Lion's Mane NIH, or Lion's Mane PubMed, Collagen PubMed. I would just basically use these sources as a way to understand the ingredients. And I just found that Lion's Mane was working so well, even better than Bacopa for me. And then I started really going down the rabbit hole of the different qualities of these ingredients.
Mm.
And it's so interesting how the quality of these ingredients vary by brand. And so just as a consumer, I would look up these brands and I would really try to understand the quality, the third-party testing. And I just found that Lion's Mane and Chaga were just great mushrooms if you actually had a good quality mushroom. And so Lion's Mane is great for focus. It's really great for memory. It's also a prebiotic. So it's really good for your gut. And there's this thing called NGFs, nerve growth factors. And Lion's Mane has been proven to help improve and increase nerve growth factors. And so I was like, okay, well, I could use that.
Sounds good.
So that's how I got into Lion's Mane. And then Chaga is this incredible antioxidant. It's also helped promote acetylcholine in the brain. And some people take acetylcholine. And it's also a prebiotic. So it really helps with the gut as well.
Yeah.
Also helps with melanin, and that's for skin. So chaga is for just skin health. And I wanted something that had, here's another thing. You can't take an efficacious dose of each mushroom every day. It's just too much powder or too many capsules. So I really wanted to optimize for my brain and my body. And I found chaga and Lion's Mane to do those two things to the best.
Yeah.
And so I've just been taking those two things for, 8 years now. And collagen is just something that I've always added to my smoothies. And ADHD, L-theanine is incredible for ADHD. And so these are just different things that I would take every day. And I put that together. And it usually was like a cacao drink. I'm much more a fan of cacao. Personally,
mm-hmm.
just the feeling of the theobromine that is in cacao, which is an active compound in cacao, just feels better in my body. But when I was formulating with Everyday Dose, I remember giving out my cacao drink to friends and they were like, it's incredible. And I said, okay, then why didn't you finish it? They're like, well, it's too rich. And that was when the light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh, not everybody's like me. Not everybody wants cacao every single moment of the day. When I wake up, I want chocolate. When I want to go to sleep, I want a chocolate.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what's something else that people will drink every day? And it's coffee. And what are the problems of coffee? Well, it's high in acidity and it's super high in caffeine. So I started searching for a really, really high quality extraction. And I found this company that has this unique process where they use a cold extraction process to reduce the acidity. And it also, it's super low in caffeine. So it's like a microdose of caffeine. And that combo, using that as a vehicle to deliver the nutrients that's underneath, is basically how I came with Everyday Dose. So you get all those incredible benefits of the Lion's Mane, the chaga, the collagen, and the L-theanine, but you still get that same experience with coffee.
Yeah. And I imagine there's a vasodilation associated with a little bit of caffeine that's in
totally.
There as well. It's really, it's a smooth ride. I mean, I can just speak to when I do choose to do this drink over coffee, it's clear. It almost feels like your brain is in the lane. I'm definitely not switching topics as much. Do you know what I mean? It's real. I can really, sometimes when I'm like, it's especially if I haven't had food and I go right to the cup of coffee first, it's just my brain. It's like, oh God, I just want to rein it in a little bit and I want to harness this energy. Mm. Did you find that in your formulations, were you adjusting things along the way to a great deal?
Totally. Totally. I would change the amount of L-theanine, the amount of lion's mane, because, you know, if you put too much in there, it can have a certain flavor. If you have too much caffeine, it makes people anxious. Mm-hmm. I think we've gone through like 30 iterations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so, Jack, how did you launch the company? How did you decide, I'm going to make a product, I'm going to like push it to market, which is an incredible undertaking in of itself?
Yeah. So it started in 2019. I was at my kitchen table and I was serving a mushroom drink to a friend of mine, Jordan Lejuan. Thank you, Jordan. He was one of the co-founders of Gravity Blanket. And I remember handing him the drink. It was like a tocotrienol cacao lion's mane collagen drink. And he was like, holy crap, this is so good. It belongs in every grocery store. And I just remember like having a little self-doubt. I was like, I don't know. There's already so many brands out there. And he said, dude, you're living in this Burning Man world bubble where everybody's talking about psychedelics and functional mushrooms. And that put me down the rabbit hole where I started learning about different brands out there. And I like the manufacturing process and the process of distribution. And so during COVID, when we were in lockdown, I think so many people were freaking out and they were just partying. And some people were just not doing anything, watching Netflix. I was just focused on building the brand. So I first started with the formula. Then I focused on manufacturing. And there's this thing called a 3PL, third-party logistics, who ships the product for you. And I just knew in my heart that this would do well. And so instead of shipping it myself, I wanted to have like a really strong foundation. And I just spent the next 8 months just developing the whole business. And basically first started in Woodstock. So I was in Brooklyn at the time. And so I drove up to Woodstock, stayed there for a few months. Then my sister was having a baby. And so I flew to Sedona to quarantine for 2 weeks because that's the thing you did.
Yes.
You know, because you didn't want to touch or talk to anybody for 2 weeks until you knew that it was completely out of your system, even before there were tests.
Yeah.
And then I drove to LA and I was just, my mom has a one bedroom apartment in LA and she had a pullout couch. And so I just slept on her pullout couch in LA, hanging out with my sister and her baby and working on the project. And I remember I first got my first starter kit in the mail, the sample. It was just so exciting to feel the product in my hand and see like what can be possible for everybody. And then it was getting all crowded and my dad has a house not too far from there. And I was just living in my dad's garage. And I launched Everyday Dose out of my dad's garage in January of 2021.
January of 2021. That's amazing. So we're deep into the pandemic. It's a wild time to launch a business. And so from day one to today, like how's it going?
It's going really well. The first 3 months of being live, we sold out. Like I did not expect to sell that much. And so we were just not prepared for that. Mm-hmm. And then when we got more stock, then there was this thing that happened with digital advertising where privacy became super, super important. Apple changed it where targeting was extremely hard. So when you send an ad to someone, it was pretty easy to know like what their interests were. Mm-hmm. So you can show them the ads that made sense for them. Well, when this privacy change happened, it basically made it a lot harder for advertisers to know and target based on interest. So like very specific interest. So it was a lot harder to basically sell the product to the right person.
Yeah.
So that definitely slowed down growth, but still by the end of the year, we had over 12,000 people subscribed just in our first year that were just drinking it. And wow. The feeling of getting reviews where people were talking about how it made them feel and how it's changed their life was just the jet fuel that kept me going.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. What are some of your favorite testimonials or feedbacks from your Everyday Dose community?
I would say people who are suffering from serious disease, or I think fibromyalgia.
Yeah.
When people are talking about how this has helped their fibromyalgia, things that I just never expected for it to help, or some people that have MS and they talk about how it's helped them get out of bed, or they haven't been able to get out of bed for years and they just feel so much better now.
Yeah.
Just like hearing these random things that I never even knew about. And then I got to learn about because people talked about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Myelin sheath, electrical signal in the brain, clearing up those pathways. It makes sense to me that you'd get some of those.
Mm.
Yeah, the growth seems really incredible. That's so exciting to kind of be on the rocket train.
We're at 40,000 subscribers now.
Wow, that's amazing. And you launched this from your garage and you were sleeping on a pull-out couch at one time.
I was. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, one, it was great to be close to family.
Yeah.
And then two, I was just confident that this would work. And so it didn't matter if I was sleeping on like a pull-out couch. I'm doing what I want. Again, it feels good to like follow your purpose.
Yeah.
You've heard of this term like dharma or ikigai?
Mm-hmm. But tell the audience.
Okay. So your dharma is basically, what are you good at? What are you passionate about? What changes the world and what helps, you know, provide an income for your life? And like whatever's in the middle is your dharma or ikigai. So you might be really good at something, but you're not passionate about it. Or you're passionate about something, but you're not good at it. Or you're passionate and you're good at it, but it doesn't make money. Or it's you're passionate about it and you're good at it and it makes you money, but it's not changing the world or helping people. So if all those four things are in that sort of Venn diagram center, then that's your dharma. And I really feel like with Everyday Dose, I finally found my dharma and it feels really, really good.
That's great. Now that you're well on this ride, Everyday Dose is your flagship product. Other things that the company has come out with, or you're planning to change up anything?
Yeah. So the mushroom coffee was our flagship product, sort of like product market fit. And then we kept getting comments from people like, do you have matcha? And so after 2 years, we launched it just a little over a month ago. We came out with a matcha, a mushroom matcha, and we partnered with a brand that we really highly respect. It's the highest quality matcha, super clean. They source it straight from Japan. It's a ceremonial grade matcha. It's organic. And it's called Tenzo. And Tenzo is providing us the matcha. And then we're using our mushrooms, our collagen, our nootropics, like L-theanine. We're putting it all together. And we now have this mushroom matcha that's just crushing it. Like it's incredible.
Great. That's exciting. What's your favorite?
I like going back and forth. So coffee really definitely has a bit more of a kick, I would say. And some days I feel like I need that kick. And matcha is a little bit more smooth. And people associate matcha's smoothness to the L-theanine that's naturally occurring in matcha. But I actually think it's a little bit more than that. So if you deconstruct coffee and matcha, coffee is the oils. So like when you make coffee, it's the cherry of the coffee pit. It's the cherry of the coffee. I think pit and cherry are two different things. So it's the cherry. And then you're basically boiling that cherry, and the oils from the cherry, the coffee cherry, is making the coffee, right? So that oil gets right into your bloodstream really quickly and it spikes. Versus matcha, it's literally the leaf. You're digesting the leaf, and digesting the leaf is a lot slower. So with matcha, I feel like it's a much smoother ride. And Everyday Dose is already extremely smooth, but it's more about, it just makes it even more smooth. And so, yeah, I think when I'm in the afternoon, I'll have more matcha than I'll have the coffee, and in the mushroom coffee I'll have in the morning.
Yeah, I'm inspired to try. I'm kind of thinking of this 30-day window. I'd like to cut coffee out and go without and just see how my body feels, my brain responds.
Are you still going to have the devil's juice in it?
No.
No?
No, I'm cutting it out. I think I'm going to cut it out. I've been making a lot of changes. I'm aware of the energy and like the adrenaline of being an entrepreneur in the morning. Like sometimes by the end of the day, it feels like I'm getting off a rocket and it's like, oh, go to sleep now.
You're like, good luck.
Good luck. How do you manage that in your life?
Honestly, I feel like the sleeping issue is not a problem because of Everyday Dose. So I still have Everyday Dose past one, But I think if someone is extremely sensitive to caffeine, and there's this, you can actually have this gene variant CYP1A2.
Yeah.
And if you have this gene variant of the CYP1A2, it means you're extremely, like, you metabolize caffeine very slowly.
I got it.
And so that means you should have very little caffeine. It means you shouldn't have that shot of coffee.
Yeah.
You know?
No more devil's juice for me.
It's so good, though.
It is so good.
But that's why we have, like, the coffee extract, so that it still has that coffee flavor.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious to know what this tastes like without that shot of espresso.
I bet it'd be great.
We should do it.
Yeah, we'll do it. What about lifestyle practices? Like, what do you do daily or on the regular to manage your mental, emotional, physical well-being?
Yeah. I mean, I can always do better. Right now, breath work every day. And I think even Andrew Huberman came out with a study where he said, as long as you do 5 minutes of breath work, it's, I think, even more powerful than like 30 minutes of meditation. Don't quote me on this. And I'm like, okay, great. Because it's a lot harder for me to sit still for 30 minutes than do breath work for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Put on some good music. There's this brand, this app called Othership.
Yeah.
That we're partnered with. And they have this incredible 5 minute breath work. And it's like super groovy. It's called Altitude Lounge. And it's just so easy to get through the 5 minutes of breath work. And so that really brings me down.
Yeah, it's so good. I've had Robbie Bent from Othership on the podcast.
Cool.
And I've been to Toronto to see their flagship breath and cold and sauna space, which is incredible. Incredible team. If anybody's in Toronto and you really want to treat yourself, check out Othership. And then I use their app. That's my breathwork app.
Oh.
Yeah. Every day. Nice. Cheers. And my partner, Kristen Weitzel, has tracks on there. So she was part of that. They did a 30-day ice challenge of just being able to walk people through the mental, emotional patterns and guide them through breath work while they're in ice for 30 days. So powerful. It's really incredible. So I love that we're both on that Othership train. I would agree with you for the investment, the return on that 5 minutes a day is incredible.
Mm. And to the next point, ice, mm-hmm. ice baths. I don't have an ice bath yet. I'm getting one right now, but I find that even 2 or 3 minutes in that ice, I could be in the worst mood ever. I could be anxious. I could be upset. I get in there, I come out, I'm like, let's go, you know, let's do this. And it's just like such a mental reset.
Yeah. I love the contrast therapy between ice and heat, like 3 or 4 rounds. And I'm just like, right as rain.
What,
like,
are you, more infrared sauna? Are you more actual, what do they call it, steam?
I'm not steam. I have a sauna here and then I have an ice bath outside, which, you know, you're welcome to get in before you go, or you guys are welcome to. Our crew is welcome to be on. We can definitely hop in. I have the ice barrel, which I outfitted with a chiller, which holds at like 40. I have it set at like 43 degrees. It's great. I've been actually doing an Epsom salt bath and getting it as hot as I can tolerate and going back and forth like every, you know, 3 minutes and 3 minutes. And it's just, you're on a wild ride when you're done.
Epsom salt bath. So you're going into your normal bath? Are you putting Epsom in your cold?
No, I'll do a normal bath in here. I have a big clawfoot tub in the bathroom. I have a bath outside too. Nice. It's just, we're just finishing it out right now. So there'll be a little
some rose petals on there.
Totally, dude. Totally. Outdoor bath. Yeah, that contrast therapy for me, it's everything.
Mm.
I just love it. I love it. So you're doing ice. Are you getting sauna once in a while?
Not as much as I want.
Yeah.
But I would say right now, like once every 10 days.
Yeah.
I would love to do it every day.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on sleep score? Like, I've actually noticed when I'm doing, and maybe it's because I'm not doing it regularly enough, I track my sleep.
Yeah.
And I noticed sometimes when I put myself through a lot of heat that night, I have trouble sleeping. Like, or like I wake up in the middle of the night. Maybe it's dehydration. I'm not sure.
Could be dehydration, could be too close to bedtime, could be how your brain and your central nervous system manages that heat. So is heat being a hormetic stressor, which is down the road, we're going to have beneficial results, or cold, it's good to just be aware how your body's responding. So I just think maybe play around with the time you're in heat, or maybe play around with the time before bed. Maybe your body needs longer to self-regulate its temperature. I certainly find that if I get in the sauna too late, my sleep is not wonderful. That's why I'll end on cold.
Got it.
Always. And that usually does the trick for me.
Mm.
Yeah.
We'll try earlier. Maybe I'm an early heater.
Yeah, I like to give myself 2 to 3 hours of no food and then like no crazy stimulants, whether that's heat or cold. You know, 2 hours before bed seems to be the right amount of time for me to downreg and have a really good night's sleep.
I was just listening to, again, Andrew Huberman. he's like the new Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, if nobody's listening, we mention Andrew a lot on the podcast. I'll quote him. So
he says 3-2-1, which is don't eat 3 hours before bed. Don't drink 2 hours before bed. And don't use your screen 1 hour before your bed.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful stuff. I have blue blocking, these really good blue blocking glasses that are red tinted. Like, so there's no blue light. You can't even see a blue light, it doesn't come up. And that's kind of my hack for that. But it's really tough to not witness any screens before bed for me.
Same.
Yeah. I intend to break that habit. That's one I want to engineer for myself. What's one of the craziest wellness biohacks that you've done?
Ketamine infusion.
Ketamine infusion.
Yeah. I would say I'm not a huge crier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why. Like, I'm very supportive of everybody else around me crying, but for some reason, it just doesn't come out very much with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a doctor assisted ketamine infusion, not the shot, actually had like hooked
right.
up.
Yeah.
And I remember going in it with the music and I saw myself and I was extremely sad, like just extremely sad. And I remember holding myself and just feeling so much love for my sadness mm-hmm. and feeling proud of myself being sad in that state. And I was just like crying and like this was crying for so much love for the sadness that I had for myself. And I came out of it so released. It was so cathartic. And I just felt like so much weight was lifted off my shoulders that I was like holding and repressing.
Yeah.
And that, I would say, was an incredible biohack.
Yeah, that's huge. My doctor offers that in Austin, Texas, as part of his practice. It's so funny that that's like a medical thing. Because back when I went to college, it was like a club thing. People were handing out horse tranquilizers.
Still is a club thing.
Right, right.
Like you were saying earlier, your intention and how you use it.
Yeah.
Also, ketamine and breath work. Incredible. Yeah. Like I will be very open to admitting, like once in a while, I will use a little bit of ketamine mm-hmm. and do breath work. And it is incredible for just the same thing we were just talking about.
Yeah. Let's swap two more. We'll swap two more like biohacks that are really amazing lately. I found one of my most incredible shifts in the last like 1 month is listening to the pain that is coming up in my body or my resistance, wherever that is. And I don't necessarily mean physical pain. It could be emotional. It could be, I want to give the word frustration and using that pattern of frustration to like set a stronger boundary. And so boundary setting for me, it's been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that. I am a good boundary setter, but there was a couple things where we all have our blind spots. And I just said, I don't want to feel this level of frustration anymore. I'm going to set a boundary. And it's been incredible. I mean, sleep score has changed. Joy has changed. How excited I am to get up in the morning has changed.
Can you walk me through that process?
Boundary setting?
Of like emotion coming up.
Yeah. So at the end of the night, I'll usually sit down with a piece of paper and I'll write for 5 minutes. And I'll say what's coming up. And if it keeps coming up, like the word frustration or resistance, I'll ask my body where that is. Who's holding on to it? Is it bones? Is it skin? Is it large intestine? And it kept coming up as colon. Like, so my large intestine was holding resistance. It's holding frustration. And I could actually feel into pain. So this is all a free writing experiment. And I just kept doing this, and now it's gone. And so the idea of, there's a very good book out there that I often reference called The Body Keeps the Score. In which the body stores these emotional, undigested emotional components or resistance in tissue, which is true. And, you know, this is, you know, the theories of onset of chronic illness. So that's just been amazing. And then once you identified the pain, the resistance, where it sits in the body, you can do that, you know, that deeper work of where that's coming from, literally, and put those identifiers down and say, well, what would it look like if this didn't exist? What would feel good? And just be ridiculous with it. You know, what do you need to make the pain go away?
Mm.
Is it leaving an engagement of one relationship in your life? Is it just cutting it off? Is it setting a firmer boundary? Is it limiting it to am I okay with 30 minutes? Am I okay with 2 hours? 90 minutes? I'm okay with 90 minutes. That sounds great. You know, and walking through that thought experiment, it's really fascinating that we won't give ourselves that, but we'll just walk around holding and carrying. So, but this all comes from pause, right? If we didn't have stillness, if we didn't do the breath work, we'd never make this discovery. We would hold it, I think, till we got, you know, MS or cancer or... That's my prevailing theory, is that these things unaddressed, they fester and they make you sick.
So that's interesting. You had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How old were you?
I was 26.
26. And what kind of cancer was it again?
It was testicular cancer that had metastasized to my lymph nodes in my chest.
And do you think that was a manifestation, or was that a little early?
100%.
So it doesn't even take that long in your life to manifest into.
No, I mean, again, the prevailing science says that cancer, like a tumor, can take up to 10 years from the inception of an initial cell developing a blood supply and then a community of cells and then its own little community, which makes sense to me that it could take that long. If I trace back my time, the timeline is very real. I can tell you anger, levels of rage, different family dynamics that I just couldn't put words to and just carried. Just because I didn't know. You know, we didn't talk about emotional processing or emotional intelligence or any of these things growing up. It's just not part of the vernacular.
Mm.
So this is all discovery after disease, which I would love if they taught that in kindergarten.
Very different world.
Yeah. You know, I mean, nobody ever asked me how I was feeling and if it was bad or if it was good or can we talk about that or is this something you want to do? It was just like, it just wasn't that world in the time I grew up. So it's very interesting. I think things are changing, but I also realize I'm in a silo of people who are doing this work. So maybe it's possible that the greater percentage of the population is not doing this work yet. And that's why I get really excited to have these conversations and do podcasts, because I'm always amazed. I attribute my greater healing to podcasts. That's how I really got good information. And it was delivered in such a way where I was like, fuck, I'm making a change. You know, and I can tell you, like all the people like Tim Ferriss, like Dave Asprey, Luke Story, those are the three big ones. Tony Robbins, you know, and I was like, I'm ready to do it.
I actually just ran into Luke Story in Austin. I was like, I know who you are.
Yeah.
It's super interesting. And then can you tell me a little bit more about your road to recovery?
Yeah. I mean, wait, I got to interview you.
I'm going to be sharing this interview with my team, or with my audience too. I would love for them to know a little bit more.
Yeah, my road to recovery. I'll give you the overview. Is it started with like Lyme disease and when I was 21, metastatic cancer when I was 26, did all the chemotherapy and surgeries you could do. Cancer wasn't gone after that. So they opened up the peritoneum cavity, took out all my organs, took out all the lymph nodes that were tumors were growing around my left.
Which organs did they take out?
Well, they take out everything when they do the surgery called a retroperitoneal lymph node dissection, RPLND, like your small intestine and your large intestine, and they put it all in a bag on your chest, and then they just start snipping. Yeah. It's one of the gnarliest surgeries out there. At the time, that's what they had to do because there were still tumors on this MRI. So they cut all those out and zipped me back up, and I was cancer-free in a year. And that progression was like, you eventually start to put yourself back together and walk, and you know, you're going to be this poster child for a cancer survivor. And my story was such that all the scar tissue started to grow back around the organs, and they would twist and like block off. So I would be rushed to the emergency room, and they'd cut out another foot of bowel and then another lysis of adhesion, slicing scar tissue just to be able to digest food or go to the bathroom. And this happened for 12 years. You know, in the middle of that was chronic fatigue syndrome and just chronic complex pain syndrome and depression. You can imagine my nervous system and immune system just shut down and just started to, you know, your body, your core body temperature dropping 1 degree has a dramatic effect on how your immune system can function.
Mm.
So I was always cold, you know, you name it, I did it and saw all the, you know, hundreds of doctors. And the road to recovery was really, it was really dramatic ownership of health. So I mean, everything that you eat, every thought you say, every word you speak, how you speak it to other people, you know, letting go of the anger and resentment that I was sick, that I was robbed of time. I just did an episode that launched Monday about, it's 15 minutes about feeling angry that I was robbed of time. That I was like, that's 10 years I'm never going to get back. And so I'm like owed something. As opposed to looking at that 10 years of moving through that experience gives me a way of understanding the polarity of sickness and health that nobody else will ever have discernment on except for me. So that's, I have great insight because I'm like, you know, as gnarly as somebody comes to me or when we're talking at an event, or I'm like, I'm deeply empathetic. I'm like, I understand where you're at. And it's totally possible that you're going to be in a different place, an amount of time that's going to be dependent on how you change your life.
Mm.
So the things like the red light therapy and the PEMF and amp coil and the Brown's gas and all the funky things they do to my water, like I see that have a measurable effect in my energy. And now, you know, now everyday dose, I'm going to test it. You know, I'm going to look at my heart rate variability. I'm going to look at my sleep scores. You know, I measure my labs every 2 months with my doctor here. And so we look at insulin response. You know, we look at C-reactive protein. We look at liver enzymes. So I can look at all this stuff and I can see the effect over time. So that's been the process. And it's one that continues to grow.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. And my audience, they're like, Freddie, we're like tired. No, I don't think they're tired. I think they'll allow me to go through it once in a while. But I've made dramatic cuts to the story. Like, I don't associate myself as a cancer survivor. You know, now it's just like I'm on the other side of that experience. And so I'm really looking at what's next.
You don't really talk about that story on your podcast site.
Not really.
I had to look for that.
Yeah. It's in there, but it's about, you know, beautifully broken. The cracks are where the light comes in. Everybody challenged me. They're like, you can't have broken on the main page. They're like, life is pain. That's another like one I have up there. But I do believe that that's true. There's this great quote from Princess Bride that says, life is pain and anybody who tells you something different is selling you something. And there's pain, right? It's there. I want to be okay with talking about that in a different light and not saying, I feel like when I grew up in the 80s, like life was just, it was cherries and roses and you're supposed to be positive and think good and life's going to be great.
Everybody gets a trophy.
Everybody gets a trophy. That bullshit. Oh my God. Terrible. I know. It sucks. I wish we could have that honest conversation that life isn't fair for anybody, which makes it fair for everybody. But I find everybody's got their pain, right? No matter what you're projecting on your social profile, everybody's got their pain.
Doesn't matter what socioeconomic class.
No.
Everybody has their pain.
Everybody has their pain. Everybody has their shadow, their darkness. Maybe they don't want to look at it. Maybe they want to push it down inside. But I think they're going to look at it in one of the lifetimes. I think it's going to come up. So it's really interesting to me. And I find the more we have these conversations, that it makes people okay with not putting it on a t-shirt and it's not defining yourself with it, but freeing it.
So you wouldn't wear a cancer survivor shirt?
I don't think so. I don't know what my t-shirt would be. I joke. I have great ideas for t-shirts all the time. Yeah.
Start a t-shirt company.
Yeah. No, it's on the vision plan. I've had more time and more team members. Yeah. But, you know, that's what we're doing. That's what we're having these conversations for. So I celebrate you for being on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Yeah. We'll do more. There's too much to talk about. And I think that I'm excited to see what happens with my experiment with absolutely no devil's juice.
I would love for at least my audience to know some of the tests that you do.
Yeah.
So that we can be educated on potentially ways of how we can observe and evaluate our body.
Yeah.
And the things that we're doing to it and how we can measure that.
Yeah.
As well. So is there a way maybe that we can have those resources somehow that we can check to see like what kind of tests we should be doing for our liver and our blood sugar and anything that you do? I don't do those tests either.
Yeah.
So I'd be super interested as well.
Yeah. I think a basic blood chemistry test can be great. And really it's about the ratios, which it's not my specialty in reading, but I do have people in my network that are excellent at it. I think, you know, low-hanging fruit is really great. I have this machine over here, which is heart rate variability, and it does predominant brainwave states. And that is it's called HRVV scan. So we could literally do like a baseline on somebody in 4 minutes and just see where your brain's at. Like, is it in, you know, delta associated with sleep, theta creativity, alpha brain, right? Beta, which I tend to live in beta, like 60% beta, which is hot for the brain to run. it's almost too much. And again, as I keep having this intuitive head, I was like, you don't need more coffee. Really? So I know I'm just, but I have that patterning. I'm associated with so much joy. It's literally an addiction. It's like my last vice.
Especially when you make it taste so good.
I know. Or is your brain in gamma, you know, that 40 Hertz, which is where all the Joe Dispenza, where it comes into in training the brain to gamma. But you can look at something like that, or I use BioStrap to track sleep and recovery.
Any reason BioStrap over Aura?
No, I just like, I don't like rings.
Got it.
They're coming out with a clinical strap that'll be like more clinical research data, which is exciting for me. And I think it's not going to be to consumer, but more to companies.
Got it.
So it could be fun for somebody like you. I'm just spitballing. Maybe there's a pod out there that you have a target group within your audience base. We're like, okay, we're going to pick 60 people and we're going to look at recovery over with before everyday dose. And we're going to like see what happens when you switch off coffee. So you got to get the coffee baseline. I bet you'd see shifts. Pretty low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
And something like, you know, the other thing that you could see a change in is would be its possible insulin response. So even
especially
like
with chaga too, because chaga is known to lower blood sugar.
Yeah. Even like a CGM, a constant glucose monitor that you can get at Rite Aid or Walgreens or whatever the pharmacy is across the United States of the world that you live in.
I feel like I can ask you every question you have an answer.
I don't know. I don't really. I mean, it's like to the best of my understanding. And it's my, you know, I know what I know. But I think that the heart rate variability, the heart doesn't lie. The time between successive heartbeats, we really have a great insight or a window into how the nervous system is functioning. Is it dominated through stress or is it dominated through rest and digest? And that's anybody can do that today. You can go buy a monitor. It's Oura Ring. It's BioStrap. It's Whoop. There's so many new ones coming out. There's Honu Health, which is real-time HRV monitoring, which might be a fun one for us to talk. I think we can work up a collab with one of these companies. It would be really fascinating.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh my God, of course. Thank you for being here, Jack. Where can people learn about Jack Savage and Everyday Dose and the platform?
Instagram, we are Everyday Dose. Our website, everydaydose.com.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Great. I'm going to ask you two more questions. You get a microphone to talk to the people of the world. Everybody silences their phones. We hush down the volume on everything for a little bit. And you just get to talk to people for 15 seconds. What would you tell the people of planet Earth right now if you could give them some advice?
Well, first of all, that was a shit. Oh, man. I should leave the wise words to you, Freddie.
No. We want to hear yours.
To slow down and to get outside. I think one of the things that I really learned during the pandemic in Woodstock was how important it was to be connected to nature. Mm-hmm. So slow down and get connected with nature.
Yeah. I don't think there's better advice for that. The title of the podcast is The Beautifully Broken Podcast. What does it mean to you to be beautifully broken?
It's okay to not have everything right. And it's okay that, well, beautifully broken is different than failing. But the first thought that came to my mind when I thought broken was failure. And it's not. It's just like part of the process. And to learn from those things, and it's part of your story. I'm so happy that I have ADHD. I'm so happy that I had this experience in my life because it makes me me. And so it's okay to be you, even if you's not like perfect. What is perfect?
What is perfect? That's beautiful words to close on. Thank you for being here. Big love, man. Ladies and gentlemen, have a beautiful evening and we'll see you next time. Namaste. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I are moving on a 4-year relationship. That's got to be some kind of a record. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, head over to Apple or Spotify and please give us a review. I know how busy you are. I know you got a list of things to do that's a mile long, but it makes more people across the world hear this mission. And one more ask before you go, there's a way that you and I can continue learning. There's a way that you and I can continue to deepen the relationship that started in this episode. You could visit beautifullybroken.world and you can check out our brand new website and store. Listed are all the wellness tools, the supplements, the articles backed by scientific protocols to move forward in a wellness, the products that I am using and I personally love. Most of them offer a significant discount by clicking the link or using the code. And the beautiful part? They don't cost you anything extra, and at the same time, they do support the show. Now, we have another new feature alert. I don't want to overwhelm you, but if you want to see the beautiful faces of our guests, if you want to watch me unbox and review products, head over to our brand new YouTube channel, Beautifully Broken World. This last message is from my vast team of internet lawyers. The information on this podcast is for educational purposes only. By listening, you agree not to use the information found here as medical advice to treat any medical condition in yourself or others. Always consult your own physician for any medical issues that you might be having. Our closing, the world is shifting. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading. Remember, while life is pain, putting the fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I love you. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel.